This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Emily Rooney. Well, right here in the studio, I've got Somerville Mayor Joseph Curtatone. And so Somerville is turning into the MIMBY city. What does that mean?
Hi, Emily. That means Mayor in My Backyard.
Love it. Mayor in My Backyard. So, what? Go ahead.
Well, I like the theme, Catherine, and talking about the City Hall vehicle, outreach into communities, connecting with different neighborhoods. The whole point of Mayor in My Backyard is to reconnect and connect with our constituents on a personal level. Boston, like Somerville, has made a lot of technological advances that you can get your services online via social media. We're the first city in New England to have a 311 constituent service line, and it's very successful. But what we want to make sure is we continue to strengthen those social and personal connections. So there's an opportunity for me to get out as the mayor and let people know, hey, I'm the CEO they elected. I'm here to serve them, connect and interact with them on issues from the different social events, civic events in the city, to important issues on development or anything concerning them in a very casual setting.
All right. So are you knocking on people's doors? Is this set up in advance? How do people know if they've got a MIMBY mayor in their backyard?
Yeah, we just started. We released a social media campaign recently, and we've been at it now for a few weeks at our Resistat meetings. And we've already received, half a dozen to a dozen requests. So it could be a barbecue when the weather gets warmer. Obviously, it could be me cooking your dinner or just hanging out for some cocktails
at
your house.
Well, unfortunately, Edgar B. Herwick III, who works right here, just had his tree lighting ceremony at his house on Sunday night. But he wanted you to come to that, too.
Yeah, well, he can invite me over when we take the tree down after the holiday.
There you go, Edgar. You heard it right here, right? Somerville resident. So, have you done it yet? Have you actually shown up in somebody's house yet?
We haven't done it yet. We're evaluating all the proposals. We're seeking more. We want some wild and crazy, so Somerville ideas. So bring it on, and we'll take a look at them. I'm going to get out to as many as I can.
And then it could be just a private residence. There could be a bunch of people there.
Right. It could be in someone's parlor room having coffee. It could be in your backyard. It could be, again, any type of event you're having, and we'll help supply it. Again, we can't supply alcohol, so.
Oh, no alcohol. Boo.
No, I didn't say no alcohol. I said I couldn't supply it.
Got it. Well, this sounds like fun. So, we want to go along with you when you do this.
Excellent. You're welcome.
So part of it is to educate people about services and stuff around the city and just to hear their issues,
right,
complaints.
We feel you can never have enough conduits to receive information from constituents and feedback to understanding if they see the city heading on the right track. And we use data on a daily basis that we're a leader in this country in how to use data to manage a municipality. But still, that personal conversation and connection is something, as elected officials, we lose a lot of. And we want to, again, strengthen those.
So you got a lot going on. You've got your annual tree lining tomorrow. Is that right, on City Hall?
That's correct.
And for the first time, you're also going to be lighting a Hanukkah menorah.
I'm really excited.
Did you take a page out of Lincoln Chafee's book from Rhode Island, or did you just think, well, it's time to be more inclusive?
Well, actually, since I've been in office, we sought to do it, and we worked with the Jewish community to have them all involved, and it worked out that we could get it done this year. And we wanted to make, there was some concern there might be too religious, not religious. It really is iconic in a way.
Absolutely.
And we felt, they have one in front of the White House.
I'm sick of this debate. Just go ahead and do whatever you want.
And that, it basically came down, we're just going to do it.
Yeah, just do it. It's lovely. Yeah. The menorah is beautiful. It's symbolic.
Absolutely.
People get it. This conversation is, I think it's been winding down this year, this war on Christmas and all that. I think we're almost over that.
Right. Well, we're lighting a Christmas tree, not a
Christmas
holiday tree.
Good, obviously. All right. So I got to ask you, how do you feel about Stephen Wynn exploring a casino across the river in Everett?
It's funny. I talked to the mayor of Everett this morning, who's a good friend of mine. And as I told him, he's doing a great job. He's got to fight for what he thinks is best for Everett. I have been vehemently opposed to casinos.
I know.
I don't believe casinos. Casinos just don't build communities.
It's going to be a bust. But.
Right. Casinos don't build communities, and they really suck the consumerism out of the region. In terms of Everett, if Everett will go down the track that they feel is the community's best, I've been approached by several casino developers about Assembly Square, and I made it very clear that—
Not Assembly Square. That wouldn't work.
Even in Somerville, we are vehemently opposed as a community.
But you have space.
Right, we have space, but we would never entertain it.
Didn't you have that big dust up with, was it Target or one of the big box stores?
IKEA.
They're not there, I noticed.
No, they're not building. They've actually been honest brokers with us. They're moving on, and the IKEA site's about to be sold. And you'll see an expansion of the the great new neighborhood that's being built on the Mystic River today.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Is happening. And the thing about the Assembly Square project, when you think about casinos and that type of development, I've always viewed the approach to bringing casinos as an act of desperation. What you need is diligence and determination in economic development. Long-term transformation like those projects takes years, but $130 million of public investment. And we just had a big meeting about transportation finance in this Commonwealth. $130 million to fund the roadways, the T station, the first one in this state in 25 years, water, sewer utilities, has leveraged $1.5 billion of private investment. It's happening right now in Somerville.
Okay, so, but what if this casino does happen? I mean, one of the big concerns with the residents, we went out there a couple of days and talked to people, was this whole, you know, traffic situation on 99, because they got to build some kind of an exit or something, which would be $500 million in dollars in itself. Are you concerned about that?
No, I'd be opposed to any off-ramp coming off Somerville.
I mean,
off that I-93 connection that we never wanted a half a century ago. Here's the thing that this speaks to, and I spoke to the mayor about this. I'm not going to give the mayor of Everett credit. He's fighting for a city. But what Everett, like other cities around the core, have seen is a deterioration and reduction in transportation resources that have capped off their economic viability. Everett deserves to have that commuter rail stop there. Everett deserves
Absolutely.
To have the transportation infrastructure investment, just like Chelsea, Somerville, the entire core. You know, these are things we need to be investing now that will have a tremendous long-term
You too.
Return.
I mean, your Green Line situation hasn't been resolved.
I mean, the first T station in this state, a sad testimony, in 25 years is being built in Somerville, and without that, we would not have $1.5 billion of private investment. That's 23,000 new jobs to the Commonwealth happening. And really, it's a sad testimony. If you want to be competitive globally as a Commonwealth, we do invest in that type of infrastructure
yeah.
and think about long-term, be diligent and determined in our investments. I view casinos as really as a short sell-off,
yeah.
as fool's gold, and I hope
it's
I'm wrong.
It's going to be a bust. No, I mean, it's not even going to raise. It's not going to raise $600 million. It's not going to raise $200 million. I'd be shocked if it raised anything.
Well, the thing
Maybe
about casinos
million.
Too, and I remember when I was the mayor of the president of the Mass Mayors Association several years ago. We hosted a casino panel in Somerville. Out of three of the panel members, two were pro, but all of them to a T said, "If you bring casinos to Massachusetts, you do not put them." Where you have an economic base. You don't take from the consumer strength that you have. You put them out as destinations. And
So you would be opposed to Suffolk Downs as well?
Well, I think Boston is just a terrible decision. I mean, to bring it to Boston is not a good decision. Boston and
well,
this
close
region.
Close to the airport.
Well, you know,
yeah.
we have so much strength as a region here in the metro region based on research, academia, history, culture, lifestyle, tourism. I mean, when you go to a casino, you've seen the movie Casino.
Yeah.
You've heard Robert De Niro in the background. Their goal is to get you there,
yeah.
to keep you there,
right.
and make you spend. Don't stop spending and betting.
Yeah, well, I'll never go, so this is not a problem.
Do you think they're going to leave the casino and go to the North End?
No.
Or the Seaport?
But I don't think it's an either
Davis
or.
Square?
I don't right. think it's an either or. People who are going to the North End or, you know, downtown, Back Bay, whatever, the neighborhoods, South End, it's not an either or. People go to the casino or go into a casino. It's you know what
right.
I mean?
But there are destinations that will prop up anywhere at casinos because they truly polarize all the consumer strength in the region. And that's scary, I believe. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you on that. I just don't think that they're going to be the economic engine. That
no, I agree with you. They're not going to save us in this Commonwealth.
I mean, and somebody was here on the show. I can't remember who it was. Maybe somebody in the studio can remember that describing stepping out onto the street when you come out of the casinos in Detroit. David Wedge. It was David Wedge from the Herald who had been traveling around. Said it was just awful, a blighted, rundown, disgusting, drug-addled neighborhood right outside the door.
Reno, Nevada. Same thing. Hey, I was in Chester, Pennsylvania a year and a half ago. There was a prison. 100 yards away, a casino next to it on the riverfront, a Harris.
Is it a destination?
And that's more of a destination, but it isn't changing. It isn't bringing any type of economic activity just within those walls. But, you know, the cases are proven. I mean, Las Vegas organically grew as an entertainment
that's
gambling
different.
Destination.
Yeah. Yeah, that's different.
You know.
As is Atlantic City.
Right.
The rest of them, I'm with you.
Well, again, I hope I'm wrong.
Knock yourselves out. Go ahead and build one, but it's not going to work.
Some of them.
That's unreal. All right, so I probably already know the answer to this question, but how do you feel about a possible Revolution soccer stadium in Assembly Square?
Well, we're intrigued by that possibility. We have no proposals before us. Somerville doesn't need a soccer stadium for its viability. We are on our way. But what it would possibly provide is more economic velocity. Mm-hmm. It sort of brings this worldwide cachet to the city.
Because it could be more than a soccer stadium. It could be a stadium for a million other things. Bruce Springsteen, for heaven's sake.
Exactly. it would be. And so we have a strong interest in exploring
that. Do you have
that.
Space in Assembly Square for that?
Well, we have possible. Yes, we do have space in Assembly Square. Huh. And first of all, to have a partner like the Kraft Group in the community is something that's very intriguing. But the brand of MLS, the fastest growing family attended sport in this country.
It's too bad you didn't get the stadium itself there, the football stadium. That was a mistake. They should have put that in the Seaport District.
Right. I love the idea of downtown too. It's doing well where it is, and the Kraft did a great job using their own money.
It's no fun
on that.
Getting there. It's no fun leaving there.
And I'm a season ticket holder.
Oh, you mean, do you go every home game?
I don't.
Even the late ones? Of course not.
No, I don't. I have four boys now, so it's tough to get down
there.
It's
an hour. Well, from you, it's close. It's probably 2 hours.
Well, then with MLS, you know what it is, a lot of people won't take the commuter rail down there. To be in the urban core would be such a hit for the region.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know. It has to work not only for the Revolution, but for the city of Somerville. And we're in the very exploratory stages.
Is this a deal that they want to build a separate stadium for soccer? Do they really need a separate stadium for soccer?
Yeah, I'd argue they do need it. They could stay... They could continue where they are. They're successful enough in Gillette, but they have to play everything in the lower bowl. What is happening with the MLS stadiums around the country, they're in the urban core, much more intimate settings, and they're great venues, again, for other events in addition to MLS activities. And they do provide a great velocity of spill-off activities for those corridors. So I would say that rather than 10,000 to 12,000 people attending the games at Foxborough, you'd have 20, 22,000 people attending games in the urban core. From all walks of life. And the type of consumerism that comes with that's pretty strong.
Talking to Somerville Mayor Joseph Curtatone about all things Somerville. So Hubway has sprung up all over Somerville. We just got a report from the city of Boston that they had, over this past season, they had 550,000 rides, which was a lot more than they had anticipated. How's it going there?
It's been, I haven't got the statistics, but it's been a huge success. And this is a regional partnership with our partners in Boston, Brookline, and Cambridge. Somerville has become the eighth most bikeable city, ranked the eighth most bikeable city in the nation.
It's fairly flat, that's why.
Well, but, you know, the regional bike share connection and in partnership with the Metropolitan Area Planning Council in those communities have been a huge success, I think economically as well. But the ridership, intuitively, all the ridership numbers have been really strong.
Okay.
And you go to those Hubway racks, which they're picking up now.
I know, I see this, I know.
Yeah, and they're empty, and when they're full at night, they're bikes from Brookline, Cambridge, some of Boston.
I wonder about that. All right, so, you know, being a member of the press, I got to ask the negative. I mean, how many bikes go missing, and how many come back damaged? Do you have any idea?
I haven't got any reports on that, but Hubway does an incredible job of preventing maintenance.
They do?
On that. Yeah, and the security's been pretty strong. I haven't seen any numbers.
What kind of security do they have?
I mean, the system, they do lock on.
Oh, I know, they lock
automatically.
On. Yeah.
And I believe they do have a way of tracking them.
I know. It's so amazing because I get around the city a lot, and I'll walk by one of those racks, absolutely empty. And I'm thinking, now, where are those bikes? You know, are they in somebody's backyard? You know,
They're in Boston, Brookline, Cambridge. Or if you're in Boston, they're everywhere. It's unbelievable the amount of area they cover, and people will ride a bike.
Yeah.
Where people ride a bike, too.
Yeah, it was that profile in the Globe of some guy had ridden... I don't know, taking 1,000 rides and ridden. I mean, you could have bought a bike.
But this is a good point, though, what you're speaking to, Emily, because people, there's an incredible urban renaissance happening in this country. People want to live and work in the urban core, mm-hmm. and they want the transportation resources to make it happen. So they want rail expansion. They want a community that embrace multimodal system of transportation, and bicycling is one of them. People aren't buying more than one car if they're buying a car. Or they're renting smaller units of housing, and they want to take the bus, they want to ride bikes. And that's why it's a huge success here. If you look at the demographics in the greater Boston area, it's what Christopher Leinberger just said in the New York Times a year ago. You've seen the convergence of the baby boomers, the millennials, and then some of all the hipsters as
Yeah, the hipsters.
So it's all happening.
Which
right
category
here.
Are you, Edgar? All right, so meanwhile.
He's a hipster.
He's a hipster. Hipster, and he's throwing his hands up in frustration. I don't know. He's pretty cool. I don't know about that. Hipster, though. So Somerville has become sort of a hot city for Hollywood films, TV shoots, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, we're really excited. And I want to give the legislature and state credit what they did with the film tax credit. It's helped a local.
Has it? Because there's all that debate over whether that's really.
I mean, the type of exposure the state gets, and I'll tell you, in our local economy, I mean, we have a company called Powderhouse Productions in Somerville, and they film so many things on Discovery Channel, including when they're sawing the cars in half and so forth. And that's created jobs. But, you know, we're filming a new pilot the other day in Somerville. It's called Terminale. Yeah, and
what is it?
I believe it's on a. It's about a local reporter who's terminally ill, and it might be picked up. But it's
fun.
They were filming in Davis Square, but they were paying the store owners to film the pilot. They were eating in the restaurants.
Really?
I think it's been a great hit.
Yeah, and there's something about Somerville that has got great urban feel, but it's extremely quaint. So it probably makes
it's
it.
Just the perfect scale.
Yeah.
You know,
Boston feel too.
Yeah, it's still so Somerville. You know, it's hip, it's creative, it's funky, it's freaky. It's still so Somerville. It's blue collar, and it's got we're only 4.1 square miles, so it's very walkable, bikeable. But as a mayor, it's fantastic because the type of constituency that's cerebral and all the issues we care about, and it's great to do so many of the things we're doing there. It's the perfect model.
Talking to Somerville Mayor Joseph Curtatone. So have you had the opportunity to talk by phone, or have you seen Boston Mayor Tom Menino?
I've actually reached out to some of his staff and sent my wishes. I hope, everybody, and I'm sure everyone gives their prayers and wishes return. I have no doubt Tom Menino will be back on his feet and back again. And it's no surprise that his city and his organization and administration still marches on with his same tenor and determination.
Yeah, it's not the same, especially this time of year.
Need him out here. I mean, he's a... We got to have him in the conversations, and I've been in all the debate about transportation. It's great to have Tommy by your side fighting for that, and I want to send him my well wishes, and I hope to go visit him, and don't count him down. He'll be back up.
Oh, we're not counting him down. We're just wishing we were coming back sooner.
Sure, right.
All right, Somerville Mayor Joseph Curtatone, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Great holidays, Hanukkah, right. Christmas, everything.
We're going to hold you to that MIMBY with Edgar. All right, Callie Crossley is back in Studio 3.
So, Emily, even though you didn't have any problems with the DMV, it's long been the punching bag for bureaucratic nightmares.
I was actually not at the DMV. I was at City Hall
getting my
parking sticker. I've had lots of problems with the DMV.
Okay, sorry. I thought it was good. Yeah. Well, we're going to move on to something that's quickly replacing the DMV as a healthcare bureaucracy. Bureaucracy, I can't even get it out. I'll be bringing you a story about a man, his cancer drugs, and what he learned after making 70 phone calls.
I can imagine. All right, I'm Emily Rooney.
I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.